Aren't you glad for God that's working in our lives? Mark 9, if you're there, say amen. Stand with me with your Bibles open. I'm going to read several verses. I want you to see a thought this morning out of these verses. Mark 9 and verse 14, and I'm going to read down to verse 29 and do my best to bring a thought to you this morning that's on my heart. And you ever had something just burn in your heart? And God's got a message on my heart this morning. It's just burning in from the inside out, and I want to give it this morning, and allow Him to help me. The Bible said in verse 14, and when He came to His disciples, now I'll give you that background in a moment. He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people. When they beheld Him, boy, isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing when we lift up Jesus, what'll happen? We're greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What He says is, what is up with you? Messing with my boys. Let me put that in wolf pen language. What are you talking to them about? What are you wanting to know about? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Just something about getting your need to Jesus. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. And straightway the father of the child cried and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him, whoa, glory, by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Our Father, I know there's needs in this room. I pray, God, right now you empower me. In these next few minutes, God, give me unction to function. And Lord, help me to preach like I've never preached before. You know the burden that's on my heart. You know what you put in my heart. You put it there. And I pray, God, you'll help me preach this morning in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Let me give you the scene. Let me take you to this scene and tell you what is happening. These disciples were left behind when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. And 9 disciples was left behind to deal with the matters of the day while Jesus went up in the mountain. Now, let me say just a little bit. I want to give you a little shout here before I preach. This will help you right here. When he went up in the mountain, if you read the context of the first 13 verses, Jesus was up in the Mount of Transfiguration. He took with him Peter, James, and John. Now, I've been asked this question, why did he take those 3 boys? Now, before I answer that, let me share this to you. Boy, this will help you. You want Jesus, when he had all 12 of them together, you want to say, Lois, he said, I'm going to ask you a question. Oh, I want to say something to you. There's some of you that I'm talking to right now, you're not going to taste death till you see the Lord coming. Could you, well, glory, I almost preach that right there. Who in the world was he talking to? I'll tell you who he was talking to. Peter, James, and John. Somebody asked me this question. And for me to tell you 100% I know why he took them, I really don't know, but I got a hunch. Amen. How many's ever had a hunch about something? I got a hunch. And here's what my hunch is. He took them up there because he knew what he was going to, what they were going to have to do after he left. They knew, or he knew, that James was going to be martyred in Acts chapter number 12. He knew that. He knew that John was going to be exiled to the Isle of Patmos all by himself. And he knew that Peter was going to get the keys of the kingdom, and Peter was going to be crucified upside down. So what I believe is he knew what those boys were going to face, and he said, I'm going to show you some glory. You said, now what did all that represent? I'm going to bog down. What all that represent? While they were up there, guess what they saw? They saw Jesus glorified. They saw Elijah. And they saw Moses. You said, what does all that represent? Did Jesus not tell them that some of you are going to see the Lord's coming? You said, well, how did they see the Lord's coming? Well, they saw Elijah. What's Elijah a picture of? Elijah's a picture of the dead in Christ. One of these days, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is going to come. And I want you to, Elijah represents those that are to be raptured and those that will be caught away and not taste death. And one of these, well, glory, one of these days, the Lord's going to come. How many like see him come this morning? One of these days, the Lord's going to come. And I want to tell you what, we're going to be living. Somebody asked me the other day, said, you think you're going to die? Hey, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. There's going to be a crowd of us that won't see death and be like Elijah, be raptured out here. Somebody ought to help me. And then Moses represents the dead in Christ. Somebody else said, how many of you got a loved one on the other side? What is it going to be like when you get raptured and they come out of the grave and you get reunited? Well, glory. I meant to preach all this other, but I'm starting to get happy right here. And we're going to be reunited. But best of all, they saw Jesus Christ change and was changed. And they saw him in his glorified state. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it may be gloomy, it may be dark in your life, but one of these days we shall see Jesus. We will see him just like he is. Thank God, thank God. But here's what was happening. While they were up there in the glory, and they were in the glory, what happened was a man came to his disciples with a son that had a dumb spirit. And brought him to them and said, heal him. I know you follow Jesus, heal him. And the Bible said they couldn't do it. And here's what was, man, oh man. I'm about half sick of religion. Some of y'all say amen with me. Hey, religion ain't going to do anything but get you in hell. And when Jesus come off the mountain, here's what he saw. He saw that bunch of religionists. I'm talking about people that have religion but don't have Christ. Bunch of scribes, and here's what they were doing. They had those nine boys there, and they were giving them, man, let me tell you something. Just let one of us goof up a little bit. Just let us just goof up a little bit. There'll be a mass of naysayers come around you and question you. Am I preaching? Have you ever had it? I mean, ain't nobody in this room that's without fault and hadn't messed up somewhere. And I'll tell you what happens when you mess up. They're going to be somebody come and remind you of it. I just throw in a little injection. I am glad that God didn't throw the clay away, and I have messed up and I have gooped up, but I am glad there's a God, thrice holy God, that will give you a second chance, will bless you. Came down off a mountain. He looked at those scribes. He said, what are you doing messing with my boys? And I'm going to give you some pastoral counsel. The best thing you can do is leave God's people alone and God's men alone, because God's going to have, he may just rebuke you, your sorry soul. Now, you said you've done a lot of preaching and you ain't got anywhere yet. I haven't, but I'm going somewhere. I see three things here and I'm going to give them to you. There are three powers working in this passage of scripture that I want to share with you. And I want to preach on this theme. Three levels of power. Now here's what I see. First of all, I see the power of Satan. You seen it, didn't you? Then I seen the power of Jesus. And then I seen the power of the disciples. Now let me say this. One level breaks my heart, and that's the power of Satan. I have to be honest with you. My heart's broke this morning over people that Satan has their life. I'm broken about it. I mean, Satan literally has their life. And I want you to know, they ought to know, ought anybody glory in somebody's mess. And it breaks my heart. And then there's a second level of power. And that level blesses my heart. Where Satan's destroying hearts, somebody help me. I've got a Jesus that can repair hearts. You may be in this room this morning, and I'm telling you, I'm bogging down. You may be in this room this morning, and you may say, Preacher Smith, ain't nothing can help my mess. I want you to know there is a master. There is the Lord, the Lamb, the Lion out of the tribe of Judah. I want you to know I've got a Savior that can take care of you. Amen. And then I see a power that burdens my heart. And it was disciples. And I got real burden here. Because see, they brought that boy to them. And they couldn't do anything. Let me just tell you a little bit about the modern church. Somebody ought to preach about it. We have turned to so many things that don't work. You know, the crowd goes down. So I tell you what let's do. Let's change our music. Let's change our Bible. Let's get in cahoots with Joe Osteen and get some of them real healthy, wealthy things and get our people starting to think that they can do it themselves. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, our big problem today is trying to go outside of Jesus to get help. Somebody help me preach. And there was missing power. I'll give you three things and I'm done. Number one, I want you to notice, and I just want to redo these. I see a power that is mastering. Look in the scripture with me. Look at verse 17 and on. A power that was mastering. That's Satan's power. In verse 17, it talked about that son had a dumb spirit. and whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Number one, I see Satan's power is a dominating power. He taketh him. The word taketh means to lay hold and seize and take possession. I tell you what saddens me. Not only in the lost world, I'm seeing Satan take Christians and laying hold of them and destroying their life.
Amen, preacher.
Dominating them. I want y'all to know something. You may be here in this room and Satan's trying to tear your life apart. And if you're saved, I want you to know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And somewhere along the line, you need to give it to Jesus. He'll dominate you if you let him. Let me go on. I got to hurry. I want you to know, second, look at verse 18. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. Satan's power is distorting power. The word tariff means to cause, to convulse. Look in verse 18. This boy literally was foaming at the mouth and gnashing at the teeth. He fell on the ground and wallowing and foaming. And his behavior was altered. There may be lost people in this room. You want to know why you're a mess and you're distorted and your life's a mess. It's because Satan's had your life and you're foaming at the mouth. You're gnashing teeth. And the bad thing about it, I see some Christians that are distorted. You know what Satan wants to do your life, Christian? He can't take your soul, but he sure can distort your life.
Amen.
And I'm watching it. And it breaks my heart, but I see it all around us. Somebody asked me, said, since you're older, you're 68, almost 68, and you've been in this thing 41 years at the same church, is it getting better? Is it easier to pastor? Ladies and gentlemen, I got to be honest with you. It's harder to pastor an independent fundamental church today than ever before because of this reason. The devil is attacking the believer like I've never seen him before. And notice this in verse 18. Satan's power is deteriorating power. Bible said he pineth away. It means to wither. It means to dry up. See, I want you to know something. I'll tell you what happened. My wife asked me this, and we talk about it. You may not know this, but I'm your pastor, and I've been your pastor a long time. I can see, Brother Rich, when some of my members ain't the same. They're pining away or they're drying up. You know what? You can come to a church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and be dry as you can be. I tell you what, there's more to Christianity than a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday religion, though I believe in every one of those three to thrive. But I got to be honest with you. If you don't have a daily prayer life and a daily time when you're getting alone with God and asking God to help you, I tell you what will happen in your life. You'll pine away.
Amen, preacher.
And I'm watching it. I see people that used to have the glory and don't have no glory anymore. Used to shine, don't shine no more. You said, what happened to them? Satan is deteriorating them with his power. Number four, in verse 21, 22, I see the destructive power of Satan. He'll destroy you. Somebody help me. You know what the Bible said about this boy? Look at verse 21, 22. He was throwing himself in the fire.
Yes, sir.
Somebody asked me, why in the world would people dabble in some of the things that they dabble in? Why's people going on? Why is there such an epidemic of pornography? Help me preach. And drug addiction and drinking right in the middle of the church house. And lost man, you're in the middle of that mess. That boy threw himself in the fire. I want you to know this. You hear me. You keep playing with fire, you're going to get burned. Am I preaching? Let me ask you, You young kids ain't going to know a thing about what I'm about with this illustration. I'm going to give it to you anyway. How many, if I mention this name, you know it? Florence Ballard. How many know that name? Raise your hand. Nobody knows Florence Ballard? Okay. That's all right. We'll warm up a minute. How about Mary Wilson? Anybody know that name? One. Who's Mary Wilson? Okay. Somebody gave him a lollipop. You know who she sang with? The Supremes. And of course, y'all all know the third one. Actually, what in the third one? Diana Ross. 1961, they signed on Motown label. And each of those girls was given $250,000. And it said this about Florence Ballard, that she bought a house, she bought a pink Cadillac Eldorado, and she was living high on the hog. But here's what happened to her. She started drinking socially. Then her drinking became day and night. And then she got substance abuse. And Florence Ballard went broke, had to draw money from the government, $95 a week. And at the age of 31 years old, that star of the Supremes died of a heart attack induced by drugs and alcohol. And I want y'all all to hear me. I may not get all this sermon done, but I want every one of y'all to hear me and hear me well. Satan wants to destroy your life. And if you keep it up and you keep letting him have an avenue in your life, he will. But I don't want to end on that. There is a power that is mastering, but somebody say amen. There was a power that was mightier. In this world where Satan is having his way, I want you to know something. There is one greater than Satan. Satan has great power. Jesus has greater power. Satan has mastering power. Jesus has mighty power. Amen. You said, tell me a little about Jesus' power. First of all, in verse 22, I see a desperate father. Now, I'm just going to cut to chase. I will not get done, so I'm going to cut to chase. There's some of you in here lost. There's some of you Christians that are sold out to the devil. He's got your life, and you're not going to get right with God until you get desperate. Wednesday night. Some of y'all missed Wednesday night. It was a sweet service. And you know what I can tell you about Wednesday night? There's a bunch of people in this church that let their dignity go by the wayside and got desperate. And God came in this place. You said, did you preach? Did even preach? I preached 3 1-minute sermons. God was moving. A desperate father. You know what Jesus said to him? If thou canst believe, all things is possible. Somebody help me. In verse 19, 20, first thing he done, he turned his son over to Jesus. Now, I preach to y'all every week. I preach to y'all every week. And you know what I tell you every week? In some way or fashion, you got an issue, you got a problem, won't you turn it to Jesus? Why don't you once and for all give it to him? And why is it you think you got to be a fixer? I want to tell you something. They just some things you can't fix. And we need the mighty power of God. Not only did he turn him over to Jesus, he trusted him with Jesus, verse 24. And you know what he said? Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I'll tell you what the man said. The man, and but you, by the way, you know why a lot of us still have the issues we have in our life? Because we don't have enough faith to ask God and believe that God's going to deliver us. The man said this, Lord, I believe. Ladies and gentlemen, If this morning you're here lost and undone, if you just say those words to the Lord, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus, I believe if I call on you, you'll save me. Jesus, I believe you can turn my life around. And if you're saved, if you can just look up at me right now, if you can just say, hey, I am in a mess, but I believe if I can get it to Jesus, he can take care of it. Somebody help me preach. And then we see a delivered son. Aren't you? How many's glad? How many remember you got saved? Somebody raise your hand if you remember when you got saved. You remember how you got delivered? I'll tell you what God can do. He can replace a bottle of liquor and put a Bible in your hand. He can clean a mouth of profanity and fill it with praise. He can take a person who is a burden to their family and make them a blessing to the multitudes. He can take someone on the bottom and lift them up to the heights. I'm not going to give you the last point, the disciples. I'll finish here. I want to give you an illustration. I'm done. How many's ever heard of the Pacific Garden Mission? Anybody ever heard of that? Yeah, there's some of you. You know who was saved at the Pacific Garden Mission? Two significant people. One of them, his name was Billy Sunday. Amen. Billy Sunday, the baseball player and drunk, got saved there. But there's another man that got saved there, and his name was Mel Trotter. How many's heard his story? Mel Trotter ended up being a preacher of the gospel. Mel Trotter was an intelligent man, but he started social drinking. And then he started drinking morning, noon, and night. He got so bad that his baby fell sick. And they called the doctor, and they didn't have any money. And the doctor himself gave Mel Trotter a significant amount of money to go get medicine. And he stepped out of that room, and he saw the medicines, the drug pharmacy to the right, and he saw the bar to the left. He took the medicine that was going to bring healing to his daughter and got drunk and was laid up for a couple days. Time he got home, he came to the house. And they had to, back in those days, they brought the casket into the house. And his little girl was in the house. And some rich neighbor bought her a brand new dress and a brand new pair of red velvet shoes. You want to know how low he got? He took the shoes off of his baby's feet, took them down and sold them, and got drunk. Mel Trotter, after he'd come out of that drunken stupor, said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to go to Lake Michigan, and I'm going to drown myself. And I'm going to kill myself. And as he was going through Clark Street. And he stopped for a moment. And there was the Pacific Garden Mission. And someone invited him in. And Mel Trotter walked into that place. And Jesus saved his soul. And a song was written by his testimony. He used that testimony all over the world to reach people with the gospel. Since Jesus came, how many glad since Jesus came? He'll make a difference since Jesus. He just wants to come in your life this morning and take your mess and perform a miracle. Whether you're saved or unsaved, if you have been given over to the devil, there is hope. But the only hope is in Jesus. It's not in reformation. It is in transformation. And you know what your problem might be? If you're a Christian and you just keep getting in sin, and you just keep in sin, keep in sin, keep in sin, and there ain't no conviction on you, ain't no chastisement on you, you know what might be the problem? You may never have been saved. I ain't your judge. But something's wrong. Or, if that's not the case, what's happened? Your conscience has been seared with a hot iron and ain't nothing bothers you. I'm telling you what, there's hope today. Bring him to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Bow your head with me. That brother's getting ready to be baptized. Come on, get ready and go ahead and get baptized. Go ahead and get ready for baptism. Grant you, go ahead. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. I want to talk to you a minute. Nobody looking. Please don't. Try to keep our movement down as much as possible. How many right now say, preacher, I know that I know that I know. If I die today, I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand. Hold them up high. Don't raise them if you don't know. Thank you. How many of you don't know for sure you're saved? The devil has a hold of your life. And he's tearing your life up. And you're not saved. Will you raise your hand and just say, but that, pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians? Come on now. You're a mess. Your life's a mess. The devil has just about destroyed you. And you're here this morning. And you say, preacher, I need help. I worry about what people think. Don't matter what they think. I need help. I'm a Christian in this room. God's got some things in your life you just need God to deliver you from. Raise your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Somebody else. Stand with me. Maybe you've got somebody in your family that Satan's ready to destroy. Why don't you come? Amen. Our Father, touch right now, we pray. Move on lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Your burden to Jesus.
Bring up.
Leave it there.
Leave it there. Thank God he cares. The Bible said he had compassion on it. He loves you. No matter how low you get, he loves you. No matter how far to the bottom you went, he loves you. Underneath, he had come underneath with everlasting arms.
Bring your heartache to Jesus. Leave it.
I'm not going to preach anymore, but I am going to give you the last point. I am going to give you the last point. And that's missing power. The disciples come to him. After the scribes give him a hard time, the disciples come to him and said, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we do it? Because you sent us and gave us power to go out two by two. Why couldn't we do it? They said to him privately. And here's what he said. This kind cometh by prayer and fasting. They had missing power. They were powerless because they were prayerless. Ladies and gentlemen, I said, I pastor the greatest church in America. I pastor some of the greatest people in the world. But I want to tell you what. There's some of you right now, your whole issue is you're powerless. And you have missing power just because you're prayerless. This kind cometh by prayer and fasting. I wonder how many Christians, you want God's power in your life, but you know it ain't really what it should be. You ought to come around this altar and say, you know, it's missing. I want God's power. One last verse. We'll baptize.
To Jesus.
Preacher, young preacher, you need God's power. You need God to help you in the ministry.
Leave it
there. Yeah, man. Yeah, leave him there.
Leave it there.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Bring your
Amen.
Heartache.
God God bless you, Miss Antoinette. You pray with Antoinette. Be seated. Sister Antoinette's going to come and pray. Somebody might want to pray with her. Amen. Amen. Roll that thing up. We're going to baptize the men. You know, we need to pray. You know, Wednesday night, Miss Antoinette had a prayer request and a testimony. It burdened me. How many of y'all, it burdened you? I've been praying for her all week. I'm praying the power of God on her. I'm going to go to her right now. Father, I thank you for Miss Antoinette. Her grandson going to get baptized in just a minute. I pray, God, that you'll overshadow her. You deliver her. Give her victory. Victory, victory, victory. Thank you, Lord. There's a mightier power. In his name of Jesus. Oh, God, thank you. Now you bless. In Jesus' name. Amen.